Good afternoon, everyone. It is 1:34 p.m., December 17th, 2025. We have two informal hearings today, and I'm Randy Christman, Chair of the Commission, joined by Commissioners Sherry Haugenhofer and Jill Kringstad. And I don't know which one you will want to take first or second. You can decide that when I turn it over to you. I don't have any opening comments. Commissioner Kringstad, did you? So with that, I will turn it over to you. But just the one thing for everybody to keep in mind so it doesn't seem like we're so forgetful that we forgot what we did earlier in the afternoon. At the start of each meeting, we should go around and have everybody introduce themselves on the record so that, 'cause it's two separate cases, and so our records are clear. Commissioner Haugenhofer.
Yep. Well, thank you guys for coming. Hope your flight was all okay. So,
before you start.
Okay, I'm going to go back to you.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Okay. I just want to be clear. Informal hearings involve only undisputed information. If disputes arise, the hearing will have to be suspended and we'll have to set up and notice a formal hearing. And then take over.
So just for clarification, we're going to do one case, end it, and then do the other one? Right. Okay. So I have on mine, we'll start with case PU25226. We'll start with that one. Yep.
Thank you for your time.
Good work, Ben.
Nice working with you.
Yeah. I did that just to do musical chairs. So we will start with that. But before we begin, I really don't have any opening comments. Just we thank you for coordinating and working these both in at the same date. So we'll go around, introduce yourself and the title, and then we'll just turn it over to you, Otter Tail, to go through your PowerPoint. Okay?
Victor Shook with PSC staff.
Lauren D'Onofrio, counsel for Otter Tail Power Company.
Jordan Sillard, regulatory analyst for Otter Tail Power Company.
Amber Grenier, Manager of Regulatory Economics for Otter Tail Power Company.
Christy Peterson, Manager of Regulatory Accounting, Otter Tail Power.
Jessica Fury, Manager of Regulatory Proceedings, Otter Tail Power Company.
Ben Christensen, Otter Tail Power Company, Advanced Concepts Project Engineer.
Okay, thank you. So I'll turn it over to you.
So today we're going to be talking about the deferred accounting treatment of the Langdon Repower depreciation. To start on slide one, as we introduced ourselves already, we got Amber Grenier, Christy Peterson, Lauren, and myself. Moving it on to, looks like he's pulling it up.
Do you can start on.
Okay. Moving on to the agenda, we're going to be going over the Langdon timeline, the depreciation study, the Langdon rate case timeline, the deferred accounting request, and then our closing summary. To start off, we're going to go through the Langdon Repower project timeline. On March 6th, Otter Tail Power submitted the application for the Langdon Repower project in case number PU23-086. On June 8th, 2023, the Commission approved the order to amend the Langdon Legacy Wind Farm nameplate capacity, allowing us to build the Langdon Repower project. On November 2nd, 2023, Otter Tail included the Langdon Repower project into the renewable rider, which was in case number PU23-343. And then finally in November 2024, Langdon Repower was completed and started producing PTCs. Regarding the rate case timeline, On November 2nd, Ottertail Power submitted their rate case. Langdon was included into the base rates with a depreciable life of 35 years due to Ottertail Power's software system, and that's what was included in our calculations. On September 16th of 2024, Ottertail submitted their response to North Dakota's MLEC 103DR, where we identified that there was a depreciation error, then that Langdon should have been depreciating at a 18-year life rather than a 35-year life as what was initially filed in the rate case. During rate case settlement talks, there was a misunderstanding between PSC and Ottertail Power, so the depreciation correction was not included in final rates. On February 7th, Ottertail filed its compliance filing stating that there would be an adjustment mechanism in the renewable supplemental. Oh, perfect. Okay. All right, so the depreciation study, as far as the process, it's filed annually. Ottertail submits a depreciation filing with the Minnesota Public Utility Commission to establish depreciation rates for its assets. Once approved, the study is filed with North Dakota PSC. In Q2 2023, which was pre-rate case, the plant in service and accumulated reserve transactions for 2022 were provided to our consultant to prepare a comprehensive depreciation study. This study maintained the previous established average year of final retirement of 2042 for the legacy Langdon wind farm project, resulting in a planned service of 35 years. In the 2024 rate case preparation, depreciation rates for the wind repower projects were not finalized yet, so the system continued to use the 35-year AYFR assumption. Q3 2024 update, the Langdon repower project was included as part of the legacy wind farm with a remaining useful life of 18 years. Q3 2025 filing, Ottertail Power filed a new depreciation study for use in 2026, requesting an adjusted remaining useful life of 25 years for the repower projects. Moving on, the purpose for the deferred accounting is capital costs are recovered over the useful life of the facility through base rates, which are designed to recover these costs. In North Dakota, depreciation expense collected through base rates for Langdon Repower is less than the actual depreciation expense incurred by Ottertail during this time, which creates a mismatch between revenues and expenses. The production tax credits in North Dakota are levelized over the useful life of the project for the Langdon Repower and are currently being levelized over the approved 18-year life and is currently in the renewable rider. The deferred accounting enables Ottertail Power to align the recognition of revenues and expenses by creating a regulatory asset which may be recovered in future periods. So the deferral for 2025 would be $416,963. That's due to the partial recovery for since the rate case final rates were implemented March 15th. For the annual deferral going forward, right now with an 18-year life, it's assumed that it'd be $526,690. We have not quite done the calculations as far as the remaining useful life because we were waiting on a couple numbers from our accounting department and they did not come in time. So. The closing summary, this filing would allow Ottertail Power to defer the correct amount of the depreciation for the Langdon Repower project and give the opportunity to account for any additional changes in depreciation life. Ottertail Power respectfully requests the commission approve the proposed deferred accounting treatment of Langdon Repower depreciation. Otter Tail is open for any questions.
So, Jordan, going back to the previous slide, I know you said you haven't calculated the amount if we use 25 years, but it's fair to say that it's going to be less than what you've listed above, just by the nature of how depreciation
Correct.
Works. Okay. Yep.
Yes, we have a depreciation filing going on with Minnesota right now, and we are currently on our third extension waiting for them to process it. So,
okay. Who has to figure that out? Why isn't this something that I don't understand why you can't figure it out? Or I guess I'm not really following what exactly it is we're trying to figure out here, that missing number.
We currently have a depreciation filing in front of the Minnesota Public Utilities Commission. Minnesota Department of Commerce reviews the filing and ensures that we have the right depreciation rates for our assets. We don't just get to set them. In that filing, we have included a study to extend the remaining life for our legacy wind farms because of the repower upgrades that we did. And if we get that approval to extend that life, then, well, we would update our depreciation rates to reflect that. Within the North Dakota rate case, we set it at a 35-year life, which was based off of the legacy depreciation life. And we found that we kind of were treating the repower projects as it's a new project when it was really just going to be added to the legacy depreciation. And so it had a shorter life. But we really have a mismatch of the depreciation rates because of the life of the assets. We're assuming the repower projects would be depreciated over 35 years when really it will only maybe be 25 years because of the depreciation study.
That part, I'm sorry. Oh. You should be going first.
No, go ahead. That's fine.
I understand a shorter depreciation schedule maybe for the repower. But don't the states... Is it unusual for a project that, for a utility company that's in multiple states, the states to have separate depreciation schedules and useful utilize for each one's share of the project?
We haven't experienced that. We've always utilized the same depreciation rates amongst all three jurisdictions. And our power plan software that kind of handles all of our assets is not set up to handle different depreciation rates amongst different jurisdictions.
I would say that's generally the standard and norm that we see. It's not unheard of for there to be different. The best example is not for Otter Tail, but with NSP and Sherco. There's different depreciation rates or both different depreciation rates and schedules between North Dakota and Minnesota.
Yeah, based on our decision.
Right,
yeah.
Right, exactly. So it's the norm is that they would be the same. However, it's not mandatory that they are the same. It creates some accounting concerns for a company if they are different. But
yep.
I need clarification.
It's, yeah.
I understand the application came for the repowering. We approved it. It's completed. But are we here because on page 5, the third point, during the rate case, there was a misunderstanding between the PSC and Otter Tail, so the depreciation correction was not included in the final rates. Is that why we're here, to say how are we now going to handle this deferred accounting?
That is correct. We had, in the DR, North Dakota MLEC 103, we had identified the error and made the decision at the time to wait to update the depreciation expense until the final project costs we're in. Yeah. Hindsight, we should have made the update at that when we found the error, when we were going back and forth.
And because it's a wind, instead of the full 35, it's 25 years, right, the repower? It was 18, then the life of the repower is...
Right. Currently, it's at 18-year depreciation, remaining useful life. With the depreciation study we filed this last fall, we are asking to extend it, so that would adjust the depreciation rate for 2026. And then we would... Yeah, we would just extend it out.
And that's for 35 years?
25. The remaining yep. useful life. So right. you would be okay. extending the remaining useful life by about 7 years? 7 years up for the wind farm.
Okay. So that is a change from the initial application, right? Because the initial application just references you're asking for it to be 18 years of useful life. But now what we're saying is...
If we were to get the approval to extend the remaining life, then we would amend that to match what the remaining life of the wind farm is.
Which we're saying is now not 18, right? It's 25.
Right. It likely will be longer, yes. We're hopeful if we get the approval.
25 or longer than 25?
When we landed, we heard 30 years potentially, but we've been operating. We've assumed it would be 25.
So, if we don't know, we don't know the useful life years. Mm-hmm. We don't know the annual deferral amount. So we just hold this until we know?
No, I think the request is that we would be allowed to do deferred accounting, and we would adjust it to whatever the remaining useful life is. So I wouldn't say that we are asking you to lock in a remaining useful life in this docket.
It's just deferred accounting.
Yep.
Okay.
I'm really reaching to remember the details of this, but what I am vaguely recalling from the conclusion of that rate case was the depreciation dollar amount that was used in the calculation was assuming, and the years may not be exact, but was assuming 25-year remaining life. But the description of how many years of remaining life was 18. Is that roughly correct? Where essentially we are saying this depreciation rate assumes 18 years left of its life, but it actually was a rate that was for the remaining life of 25 years. Is that, and I just might be recalling correctly.
In the rate case?
Yes.
The initial filing, it would have been a 35-year life because it was pulling the legacy Langdon wind farm was mm-hmm. using a 35-year sure. life depreciation rate, and that our systems sent over that number to apply to the repower project, when what should have happened is it should have just been, we should have had a new depreciation calculation that just added the repower projects to the balance of the legacy
sure.
and then
sure.
depreciate it to the remaining useful life of that
sure.
legacy wind farm.
So at the end of the rate case, essentially, we had a mismatch between the agreed upon depreciation dollar amount and the agreed upon depreciation number of remaining useful life years. Is that a fair characterization?
Yeah.
And the deferred accounting request is really to allow Otter Tail to not lose that money, essentially.
Yes, essentially. And it's not something that, because it's deferred accounting, it's not anything we're collecting from customers today. It's within the next rate case, hopefully not
correct.
In the near future, it would, we would amortize
that. To that?
We would amortize that amount over however many years that, if the commission allows it, and collect it from customers over a period of time. It wouldn't be a large sum at once.
Okay.
But so if this was in a rig case, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
Would it be on the renewable rider then? I mean...
Could be. It, not necessarily. So now that I understand a little bit better what we're talking about, I'm going to take a stab at explaining what I believe is going on here. So absent the deferred accounting, the $416,000 for 2025 would be lost to Otter Tail. It would be a historical expense that they cannot recover in future rates. And that $416,000 really is, Otter Tail is saying, and I'm not going to use the right numbers, but I'm going to get in just a rough number. So the depreciation expense for Langdon for 2025, they had written down as $2 million. And in reality, it was $2.4 million. Now, them only collecting $2 million from customers doesn't mean that it lasts any longer. They just had the wrong number written down. So without the deferred accounting treatment, that $400,000 is gone with the wind. Intentional.
Very good. Wow.
I had to. I it wasn't planned, but it just came off the tongue so nicely. Sorry. I'm just trying to think of another way to explain it, but there was essentially a mismatch where we were saying this dollar amount is the right dollar amount for depreciation for this number of years of a remaining life, when we were referring to the wrong number of years of life. And because the settlement agreement and the order was so specific in how it referred to those things, they couldn't make the adjustment. And absent this deferred accounting treatment, the past is the past, and it cannot be changed because depreciation is an expense. It's not a rate base. So,
at what point does it become the past? Would this have to be approved in 2025 yet?
It doesn't have to be approved in 2025, but it has to be requested within that year. So, we've had other deferred accounting cases where they're filed within the year, generally, I mean, preferably before the start of the period, but within the year at least. And we do have some measuring sticks of, you know, what justifies deferred accounting treatment for something, which I don't have those in front of me at the moment, but we'll get those to all of you so you have that. But if this had not been filed prior to the end of 2025, certainly they would not have any ability to recoup it.
The 416.
The 400, right.
But we're approving deferred accounting for the 416 or whatever, like Minnesota, that dollar amount, and for 25 years.
It's deferred accounting doesn't approve a specific dollar amount.
It generally just approves the deferred accounting.
Just approves the treatment of it so that what I would expect, if this is approved, what I would expect to have happen is the next renewable rider application that comes in, whenever that next one is due, at our next year sometime, they would file for recovery of the revenue requirement for as calculated with the new depreciation schedule, and they would likely ask for recovery of this $416,000 plus whatever additional difference there would be between January 1, 2026 and whenever those new rates would take effect.
Are there other questions or other commentary? Not even going to close it out in 7.5 hours. Okay, are there any objections to the evidence that's been produced here being part of the official record upon which a final decision will be made? And when I say the evidence, I mean both the recording of our dialogue as well as the handout and video.
No objection from Otter Tail.
No objection from staff.
Okay. The evidence will be added to our official record. Does anyone else have anything else to append?
Nope. Thank you.
Formal hearing in case number PU-25-226 is closed.